You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
All right, friends, okay. We're back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. And today we're going to have a conversation that is going to stretch all of us, including us, I'm sure. For the first time, I have paired now Robert Vandryst Harrington. He used to go by Robert Vandryst Mitchell for those that have listened to the collection of interviews we did years ago. And Esther Ford, who is Sue Ford's twin sister. Her sister is the author of the book, Thanks for the Memories, under the pseudonym Bryce Taylor. And both of these individuals are survivors of projects that took place in deep underground military bases, projects that were underwritten by factions of the Illuminati, projects that have connections to all types of three-letter agencies, royals, and the rabbit hole goes down and down and down, even into the realm of the non-human entities that both of them have had interactions with. And we're going to be talking about a collection of their cross-section stories, because as these two have formed somewhat of a friendship at this point, both hanging out here at Bride Ministries, they have found that they are definitely sharing some common experiences, and they're here to talk about it. So Robert and Esther, welcome back to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Thanks. So happy to be here with Robert and you, Dan.
As probably your listeners know, and it's great to be with Esther on the show as well. So yeah, just great for us to be back and to share our new experiences and the experiences with Esther, who we see as not only a sister in Christ, but also a sister on the angelic realms as well. So it is great to be back on here and with the both of you.
So I'm going to just dive in. One of the first questions that I had when I met Esther, I said, look, I read the book, Thanks for the Memories. And through that book, Sue writes about this council. She never actually says who the council was. And all through the book, I'm wondering, who are these people? What is the name of this council? And so when I finally had the opportunity, and maybe some of you that have read that book that are listening to this podcast also had the same question, like, whose council was that? Was that a council of 11? Was it a council of 13? What was this group? Was it the Bilderbergers? I asked Esther, she said, it was the Rothschilds. Wow. Well, both of you have a experience with this family, which is one of the Illuminati families of note. I want to begin on this subject and let you guys talk about some of your interactions and experiences. Esther, would you like to go first?
No, I want Robert to go first.
Easy. All right, okay. Robert.
You go, are. Robert.
All right, I don't mind. Of course, probably Esther's experience goes further in time back to mine because she is older. But in my case, yeah, with the Rothschilds, I got in touch with them when I was still quite young. My first programmer, as we know, was Dr. Mengele, also known as Baron Guy de Rothschilds. But before that, with Joseph Mengele, I already was brought to the different, I was trained to be a part of the Satanic Ritual Network. And I also was brought to the different councils. And the Council of 13 is one of them in California. It's part of a network globally. And they are the higher top if it comes to the Satanic side of things. But we got quite a number of councils. And if people, not only your listeners who are Christians, but if some are also maybe dabbling in the New Age, have heard probably of the Council of Five and all the others, what are also demonic councils. Although in the New Age, they are known as so-called alien councils. In reality, we talk about the demonic rest with a number of consoles by different names, but the same players coming back over and over, and Rothschilds are one of the main players. One of my main handlers through my life was Lord Jacob de Rothschild. If I'm correct, he died, I think, this year or last year. I'm not sure, but
this
no
year.
doubt they have a clone of him still operational, and his sons took over. But he was, for a big part, my main handler, in at least on the European side. But yeah, in all the councils, the Rothschilds are participants in all of them. And connected with the satanic network, the Rothschilds is called Pindon. And that is occupied for 15, 20 years by one of the most and deepest elite families within Europe, who have a seat for 15, 20 years under the name of Pindar. And Pindar can always be recognized that the person wears a complete white suit, but it's also an indication to the rest of the Illuminati and police forces, stay out of our ways. They are above any approach. But so far, the Rothschilds were never under that function, because the Rothschild, for one, on the Illuminati level, is only a recent member. They are still a young family. Because when I talk about the Illuminati, I talk about families that goes back for thousands of years, at least 1,000 years or more in time, if we talk about the old families. And the Rothschilds only came into being as formerly the Bauers, till 1776, when they took over the name Rothschild, what means in English Red Shield. So they are only a recent member of the Illuminati family. Another thing is, a number of the councils also got families in them that most of the people never heard of, because most people seem to believe, when we talk about the Illuminati, we talk about 13 families. Those are only the known, the public families, while the real power lies with the hidden families, as also Esther can attest to this as well, with her knowledge. And that is what people have to remember, that the real powers lies with the families that are not as publicly known as the 13 families that we see publicly, like the Winters, to whom I connected through birth. My mother was used as an incubator with the eggs from Queen Elizabeth and seeded by Prince Philip. So that made me one of the hidden offsprings of the Windsors. And there are many out there that are hidden offspring from the Windsors. But even more so, there are hidden offspring from the family of the Dutch royal family and the Danish blood royals, etc., etc. But the real power lies with the families that are not as known publicly as the 13 bloodlines that we see in all kinds of conspiracy sites, etc. So, and the councils, they are numerous. You got from the Council of Three, the Council of Five, the Council of 11 and 13, etc. But they all operate on a demonic level, and they all fall under the fallen angelic levels. And when I was used in rituals, and I was trained for this, we had to go as priests and priests for that, is because we created an energy field that opened up portals in which the Olden One, as they were called, came in. And they only could stay for a certain amount of time, but they had to be kept in this circle. Because because they couldn't stay here permanently, and then sometimes they gave a physical object to, let's say, the high priest or high priestess in the group, and then this physical object could be a book or something else that were then given to other leaders within the Illuminati for whom it was meant to be. And those activities are still going on till present day, and there are now more rituals going on even than in the time that I was used in, because the electromagnetic field is getting stronger, the energy from the cosmos coming in, so that makes the Illuminati weaker because it breaks down the strongholds that the reptilian side have over them. And in order for them to hide the reptilian side, they need to drink more blood and more endochrome. If they don't take more endochrome and blood, their reptilian form will not hold the human form, so they will be exposed more and more. And that is also what we sometimes see more happening on TV and even in public, that sometimes you hear people, did that person shapeshift partly? Yeah, the reason for this is because the electric magnetic fields of the Earth getting stronger from the energies from the center part of our galaxy. We are, since 2012, more bombarded with this, and this will break down the strongholds that the reptilian parts in those Illuminati members has that are overshadowed by reptilians, if they are hybrids. And for that to counter, they need to drink more blood and rituals. Also, the missing children are part of this, especially the missing children that we now see happening in the US over the last, what is it, 8 years or more since Trump came in. Although under Trump, the borders were more closed, but before Trump and after Trump, the borders became more open. So more influx of young children came in that disappears in the network. And according to the last figure I heard is at 1 year, there were about 300,000 or 400,000 children missing of the illegal aliens, and those children ending up in various ways in the Illuminati network for satanic rituals, to harvest their endochrome, their and blood and other things. And also some of them ending up in the underground dumps, because what I also witnessed in the past as a child is that they are using children in order to feed chimeras that are being bred for the army of Satan. And those chimeras are fed with babies and young children. So that is another part in which those missing children ending up with as well the slave trade, the sex trade, and all the other things.
So, and just to, you know, kind of clarify, is it your opinion, Robert, that different members of the Rothschild family had their hands in all of these different things, or have their influence in all of these different things that you're describing?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Now, Esther, I'm going to jump over to you because I want to give you an opportunity to talk about the same thing.
Okay. So it's kind of interesting how the Rothschild memories started developing in my twin. You know, I am hidden. No one knows I exist. Sue doesn't know I exist. And she started interceding with this woman who was spirit filled. And the woman said, God says to pray for the hidden one. And so they prayed that. And I think it was like 3 or 4 years later, she was reading different books, and was reading about the Rothschild, and she saw a picture of Baron Guy, and who was our original owner when we before we were even born, and so she started having our memories, and so they continually reprogrammed her, but It started that way. And then in 2019, when the Holy Spirit said, pack up your car, everything in it, the dog, and leave here. I did. I left Key Ministries, not knowing I wasn't Stu. I was still completely programmed, but I had been put in her life during that time of transition. And so I'm listening to the Holy Spirit coaching me what to say, what not. Okay. So Okay, so I did, and what I'm learning through working with you and the Holy Spirit working daily with me is that it was our enemy's plan for us to go, to leave, to go to New York, to they needed to transition us into her public life, and they were pretty clear that they knew that her spirit was in me, which it wasn't because of God, and that I was going to walk the path. Stu Ford, author of Thanks for the Memories, the whole thing, and never really remember anything anymore because they were reprogramming everything and had just continual reprogramming. And so I started having Rothschild memories after the Holy Spirit had me get those two dolls, the baby, identical baby dolls, and show me we were twins, and that Sue was my twin, and that I was programmed to believe that her public life was my life. So these past 5 years, almost six, I've been remembering exactly what my life was. And my life lines up more with what Robert says. And I lived in Paris. I was raised in a Rothschild slave farm. All black people were my family. I understand why I feel really at home with black people. I had a black wet nurse. Her name was Delilah. She breastfed me for 3 years. And so the Rothschilds have this down. They had then all the underground networks. They had labs. They had all of this already, all the genetic engineering. We were a project of the Hitler project, which I believe was when I, as I go through this experience, I believe it was actually trying to get a person with the most evil they could get genetically into your body from all these families. Like Robert was talking about, there's way more than 13 families. Our prayer book, where you have those prayers of deliverance from all those families. It is just family after family. I mean, we went even beyond all of the ones that you had, and God still showed me DuPont, another one. And so it doesn't stop. And so where do I go now? This I went from the black slave farm to programming with Joseph Mengele as an infant. They would take me out of the farm and I would be taken to America or to all these Brazil, Peru. I was with Joseph Mengele and his woman, whoever it was, over and over and over and over as a child. I mean, lots of contact with him. And I can't remember all the details, but I have it all documented, and someday I will hopefully release that. But he was doing massive torture and programming and massive he was doing massive spiritual thing, evil. Just the more evil, I understand now they have to have the evil to get the power from evil. And I actually understand what Sue couldn't when she kept saying, why are all these men at rituals lining up to rape me? What's the deal? What is this just for sex? And the Holy Spirit showed me, and I understood from my own experience that it really has, sex is just a doorway for the iniquity opening, and that using triplets, which I have discovered that Sue and I were born in the womb together, and then there was the third part of our egg that was implanted into the womb of another woman and was separate so that we could never remember this. And she is still underground, deep, deep, deep. She's the deepest, closest to Satan's throne room underground as people can get. And so she is continually being uploaded with demonic forces that come into me, that came into Sue. And so when Sue was being raped on the altar, these men were just being loaded and downloaded demons after not just demons, but high principalities and powers. So it was the process of polluting all the leaders, presidents, and all of the leaders, the world leaders that attended these satanic rituals. And so the Rothschilds were into all of this. Everywhere we, you know, we had memories, they were somehow linked up to it. And so we had lots of memories of being with Baron Guy, the Rothschild, as a little girl with him in his big mansion, and nobody else was there but us. And he would have, like, on the Hebrew holidays, he would have the regular Jewish Hebrew things that seemed right. And then at night he would do satanic rituals. So I believe now from all of this that everybody is programmed, and they're all split and filled with demons. And you, Band of All, have been put in place to head up major deliverance access for people, because people are going to start waking up, and your ministry and everything you built is going to be widely used and highly desperately needed. And that makes me cry, really. Because, oh my God, I'm so grateful that you had received the call and did this, because without you, I wouldn't have met Robert, or none of this stuff would have made sense. And like Robert said, you probably would have just been some little old lady drinking yourself to, you know, to death, because you're having these crazy, insane memories that aren't really, like you said, it makes me weird, but I'm not weird. It's what happened to me that's weird. All these things make you weird.
Well, but you're not weird. You're an eyewitness.
I'm an eyewitness. And that's what God said. So I just wanted to follow up on not only Baron Guy Rothschild, and then when he turned 75, he turned me over to his son, David. And when he turned 75, he turned me over to Alexander, his son, who is now the head of the Rothschild family in Paris, who I said before, in December 2018, I was the mind file there with French President Emmanuel Macron, when Alexander Rothschild stood up and announced that he was culminating the global governance that day. And so that's the New World Order. They change all the names, but it's all the same thing. And so I have a whole inside layer of personalities for Alexander that some of those we haven't even gotten to. Well, we haven't gotten to them yet, a lot of them. But I have gotten to the point of knowing that Jacob Rothschild also was, he was, oh God, man, it makes my body shake. He was so torturous. And there was so much going on with him. And Evelyn Rothschild, who wasn't quite as torturous. And Miriam Rothschild, who I've had a lot of memories of being in labs. She would, as I grew older, she would put me in caves to collect stuff. They put me in labs. I was the mind file there. And she even married us. She married us to this guy named Roger, Roger in French. And to I guess so I could go in and out of her life, and people would think I was there, but they actually put a clone of me with this guy who I never really lived a married life with him. I was always in labs, deep underground military bases, going all over in UFOs from the time I was little, and being taken on that other level to all these different places, including off planet bases. And that's what I really appreciate, the work that you and Robert did, because without that, I mean, I'd be just having flashbacks after flashbacks of all of these planets and different alien species and all this stuff that I could have never understood. With, you know, I would just thought it was mine.
Well, and we're definitely going to get to that. Now, I want to advance this conversation a little bit further. You both have these experiences with the Rothschild family. They are not good. And you also both have experiences with factions and orders within the Roman Catholic Church, namely Knights of Malta, which is essentially a sovereign military order, and the Jesuit order, which is also a military arm of sorts within the Roman Catholic Church, and by extension, CERN. So I'm going to open up the conversation on Knights of Malta, Jesuit order, and CERN. Robert, what can you tell us?
Yeah, because my family, my mother's family, are Roman Catholic/Jesuits. Deeply involved I was, because that was hidden from me till in the counseling it came above. And it was Esther that mentioned something that triggered one of my memories, and that was with the Knights of Malta. And apparently I was initiated when I was 15, on March 21st, 1980. I was brought to England, to London, and I was brought to the St. James Cathedral, what is a Roman Catholic church. And one of the British side of the family, Basil Harrington, he died now, but he was then in his 50s. He was there with others. The Queen of Elizabeth was there, Philip, and a few others that I didn't know by name. And they were all in their Jesuit robes and other robes with other insignias. And this Basil started to speak in Latin. And it turned out I was initiated into the Knights of Malta. And he had this also a long sword, and what you see in films, that you're being crowned and things like that. I went through that. I also found out that I found this out with Cody, that I have also 50 other parts, apparently, who went through the same thing. And the Knights of Malta, as you already said, are an order within the Catholic Church and also with CERN. They are together, both the Jesuit order and the Knights of Malta, all deeply entwined in each other. They both deeply involved in the Roman Catholic Church and its security, because they are the security forces in the Vatican to start with, but also in CERN, because the CERN facility, or at least the CERN facility underground, is deeply involved with the Jesuits and the Catholic Church. And it goes back way, way back in time to probably the 70s, if not even further back. I got involved in CERN in around 81, when they started to use computers and things like that. And through memories that has preserved, we wrote down some of the memories of that, what I did with myself and others. They took the most psychic children, hook them on computers in order to cipher up their abilities and powers in order to find the keys to the abyss. That is what I understand out of it. People have to remember that when God thrown the angels of Satan into hell or in the abyss, they were the most criminal of the angels that were thrown. If the Bible, I'm not sure if the Bible says that, but the most criminal of the angels were thrown in the abyss, and being in the fallen ones that work under Satan and his fallen angelic orders. They have been ever since trying to open up the abyss, because if we want to go to battle with Jesus, besides his chimera army he is creating, he also needs the darkest and the most criminal elements of the fallen angels that are imprisoned. So they have been trying to use psychic children with psychic abilities that were used under CERN, at least the CERN facility under Geneva, because CERN has also facilities in Chicago, connected with the University of Chicago and other locations, but are smaller in setup, but they do similar things. And all those facilities globally are all linked up to the one in Geneva as a network. And that is how they are trying to pierce through the veil of the dimensions and trying to find the keys in order to open up the gates of the abyss. As so far I know, they haven't found it yet, nor been able to open it. I hope that stays like this. But I was used in this from 81 till 98 in this particular program. I had sent you earlier today, so I used them as explanation on this broadcast. And but that was only one aspect of in this case, the Jesuits and the Knights of Malta, because they both connected also deeply with the CERN facility and the projects that are going on underground in particular. In particular, the Knights of Malta are also involved with the security in a radius of 10 to 20 miles of CERN. Their security guards armed to the teeth. So when there's a break, when someone tried to escape or something happens, they are called to arm. And they operate on both sides of the border of France and Italy and the Swiss part. And they not only operate with the CERN facility, but other similar facilities connected with CERN in other parts of the world, including in the US.
So,
as around Chicago, where they have one of their other main facilities.
Okay, so Robert, what I'm going to do is I'm going to screen share the three drawings that you made to me. Now, what you
three
wrote on
missing.
There is illegible. For the people that are watching this won't be able to read what you wrote, but I'm just going to let you share a few minutes on each of the pictures that you sent to me and help our audience to understand what's going on here. So here's the first picture you sent me. What is this?
This is the layout, how the people as myself and others were laid on those metal tables. And next to us was a table with computer screen and a computer, and we were cabled through various ways to the computer. The computer in question had other cables that went to the main computer, what was in the center of the room. There were five tables in a pentagram form labeled, set on the top table, nor if you want to say in directional north, and you know what I mean, in a circle form. But this is the layout. We had electrodes on us, on our heads. They also put needles with wires under our fingers.
My.
And other places, and we were hooked on those computers, the computer table what you see next.
My.
And those, and it was for each of the participants, so there were always five. The youngest I witnessed was about 10 years old, and sometimes I also saw other adults as well. And in my case, I was the first time that this happened to me was in 81. So I was 16 years old. But then, of course, that is when the advent came of the computers into the programming, as you may have noticed with other survivors.
So
that is the layout of the room.
Uh-huh.
In this case, with the tables and the and then the computer in the center point.
Wow.
And the room was oval shape. It was dome shaped. I think the room itself was about, I would say, 40, 50 feet in diameter. And in height, it must have been at least 20 feet tall. It was off-white in color. The people that were working on us, this was the main console computer in the center, and that had the wires underground, and it came then to the tables.
Whoa, okay.
We had about seven scientists working on us. They wore laboratory ropes, but I also on top wore the red Jesuit. I tried to think what the color red is. is not like this. It's the burgundy reds or something like that. And then they and they're seen of white and had a golden collar on the outstretched. And each one had a small signal of the J-suite on them. And some of them also had on the right side of the arm also the symbol of the Knights of Malta as well. But and each time when it happened with me 4 times a year on average. And each procedure took place for 6 hours. We had 3 days went missing on Wednesday night, between Wednesday night and Thursday morning. So maybe Alta came out and made them disappear because they don't want, of course, the world to know whatever the case. But above the table, when they started the operation, it was like an electromagnetic field in a dome-shaped form came up. And sometimes it was as if an opening went open at the top. And it was sometimes you saw pitch black, but sometimes you saw what looked like a face, a grotesque face, as you sometimes see in movies. Some of the faces that I witnessed looked like some of those alien movies you see in alien movies. As I'm not sure if any of you have seen a movie like Alien or Venom. Then.
No.
Okay. Now, for people that know the movie Alien and know about that alien type of being, and also the Venom, what is part of the movie series, although that is from the modern thing, but the alien shapes of the aliens, what we saw, but was on the other side of the veil. So they were looking in on us, and I heard also at times, but it sounded like screaming, what came from the other participants.
Gosh.
Because they must have seen a similar thing as well. And but yeah, it said this canopy of the electromagnetic fields came over us during that period. Also was a humming sound. And during the procedure also at times, as I said, we were placed electrodes all over our body, our mind, also with needles in our body, with wires. So we were monitored, but also fed electricity for whatever purpose. But that procedure went on for 6 hours on average. And with me, it happened 4 times a year. And that happened from 81 till 98. And it was under the CERN facility in Geneva. But there were similar projects in other places of the world that the Jesuits with their CERN operates, because CERN is a global network.
Yeah. And I remember years ago when we were at the beginning of some
in Geneva.
When we were at the beginning of some of them, these memories, I don't think we got as far as what you're telling me today. This is some of this sounds new.
This is all new information that has come this year, over the last 4 or 5 months.
Incredible.
I think with the CERN facility, what maybe have also triggered is when I read of Swally that she mentioned something about CERN, and that triggered my memory.
Yes, she did. And we talked a little bit about that on this podcast as well. She's amazing. And, you know, I do remember, though, that when we were working, CERN kept coming up. It is kept coming up. And they were definitely summoning, if not your whole physical body, with, you know, abductions, with craft or whatever. We were absolutely aware that there were parts that kept reporting back to CERN, and possibly through the astral. And so this is like a whole other layer now. It's connecting a lot of dots. Everyone seems to know that something is not well with CERN. I just don't think the world has been ready for how deep, how dark, and how awful it really is.
Not to mention how far CERN goes back in time, because people seem to think that CERN started around, what was it, 2008, 2009? Well, the real operation started way back in the 70s, even not further back.
Wow. So Esther, I'm going to pitch the same question to you. The Jesuits.
No doubt, right, for a number of years. Yes, and she is, of course, older than me as well. She is, I think, 7 or 8 years older, at least to me, because I remember in 2012 when I came across her testimony. And she mentioned of her experience, I think her ritual under the Vatican, what took place, I think, in 1970, when she was 13 or something. While my experience took place in 77, or yeah, 76 or 77. My same experience under the Vatican, with the Jesuits and all that. So I know that her experience goes further back in time than mine. It is glad to hear that she is still alive.
Yes. So
even further in time, because I'm the oldest of, I mean, I'm going to be 74 on presidential inauguration day. Wish I could change my birth. We also had a lot of memories of, I don't know where to go first. Knights of Malta. Stu and I were both knighted. She had memories. I had memories of my own. And it was always that I remember it was through the Jesuits or through the Windsor family. And it was actually Queen Elizabeth who knighted us at a very young age. The mother of the queen that just died. And we were in and out of rituals there with that Windsor family, all of them, for decades. And I'm not sure, I'm trying to figure out how, if we're genetically engineered with them too, but that hasn't really all come clear. But our grandmother was like best friends with those queens. I mean, that's just not normal. And at Ojai Valley Inn, when Stu and I were like infants, that's where we had, I think Sue wrote these memories down in the book, where the queen, where our grandmother took us into a pond and drowned us and then brought us back up and told Queen Elizabeth II, that just died, sort of. we were at her death. We saw it. Okay, so took us, drowned us, and brought us up and had the queen name all the whole section, all the names she wanted her parts. And so there's this continual thing with the Windsor family. And then I meet Robert, and then I meet Warren. And I mean, the whole thing just keeps getting closer and closer to my understanding. But I also had a lot of memories of the Jesuit general, and how they would be on islands. And I was an infant when the Holy Spirit brought these flashbacks. Oh, they were horrible. An infant made naked, it's cold. They were the worst torturists. I thought they were the highest level of everything because they tortured everybody so bad. But they would bury us in the sand on these islands and take us to death and then bring us back and breathe in our mouth and give us life again and name parts. So we had tons of Jesuit systems. At the same time, we had the Vatican and the Pope from the beginning. And from our infancy on, and all of these things interlock together, and they all also interlock with CERN, which, you know, I told Robert when I started having all these CERN memories, I was taking the CERN underground, under CERN, as it is. I was down there doing all this evil stuff that I didn't even understand because I was just following program. So I realized CERN is not anything new, but When I'm catching now, it's like they have the Shiva, the statue is at CERN, and Shiva is a destroyer. So it's like when people have the eyes to see what's truly going on, and they're going to understand that this is all just Satan's plan. This is all, and I understand now why the Pope, every Pope, and every Jesuit general, including the one now, Arturo Sosa, sodomized us every year. I don't think that's happened in the last couple of years. I hope. I don't know. But, and I understand now that was because we were being used as a really high level evil tool. And they were making sure we didn't remember by through probably not only the horror of being raped and sodomized, but also what they were sticking in, the demons that were coming through the portal. It's all about demons. This whole thing is about demons. One thing, I don't know if this is off topic or not, but all the pieces that the Holy Spirit's bringing to me are about, a lot of it is about the royal family and the ones that we were involved in. And they were, a lot of them were like what Robert said, and we were involved with the Windsors, and I mean, Sue wrote in Thanks for the Memories about, attending operas with Charles and, being there with Diana and taking those boys, her William and Harry, setting them up to go to Disneyland for their programming when they came to visit the United States. So, it's like as we're filling in all this information, the bottom line is there's so many programs. Okay, so the other thing was we were connected to the Netherlands hugely, and with Prince Bernhard and Princess Beatrix. I think all these, there were satanic rituals, there were deep underground things going on with all these families. And one that I'm still putting together, and I can't seem to get it all, is Prince Rainier III of Monaco. And now his son, Albert, Prince Albert, is married to a woman named Charlene. She is, I don't know if she's a queen or the princess or whatever, but we have children that were taken into every single one of these. Either they're Rothschild or they're, I don't think we had Jesuit kids, but we had children from Berengai, Jacob, and Evelyn Rothschild. And I know there were other, one Reagan one, Ronald Reagan. They all have evil bloodlines, whether they know it or not. And that's why the presidents were selected, but I don't want to have to get off topic here. But I just began to have memories about Pindar. And I don't know. There's just a lot with these royal families and them having our children. And I think they probably use them as breeders or something. I don't really know, but I have no idea where they all are, except for Samuel, the one that I believe is the rabbi in the Temple Mount. And the other thing Robert mentioned was Geneva, and Switzerland was right there, close to Paris, sort of, and was where we call them Daddy Rothschild, Guy, he would have meetings of all these elite people, rich people that came to invest in his project. And one of them, it reminded me of seeing Robert's pictures. They had a box with glass on the front that was all wired that they put us in as an infant to demonstrate how he could kill us, bring us back to life. And we were wired up and on show, and people actually paid and invested into it for genetic engineering. And so Berengai was often in Switzerland all over. And we have recovered parts of our human spirit that were in the ley lines and grids in Switzerland. And God has delivered them and brought them back to our spirit. And so it's like God's working overtime right now to bring the pieces all back so that we can all put this together and we can pray. And I mean, that's all I do these days. That's all I've done for 6 years.
And I want to just say this one piece with the children and the secret and hidden children. I think it's a power play. That's just my opinion. And the reason why I think that is because of the history that you find in the Word of God. In Genesis 1, you see a command to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And there's a connection between being fruitful and subduing that comes right in the chapter, first chapter of the book. And when you see the development of civilization, including the Jewish tribes, we meet Gideon in Judges, and his problem is he's from the weakest clan of the weakest tribe, and some of that is numerical. It's just like literally the size. Manasseh was smaller than Ephraim, its half tribe counterpart, and so the more children, I think it's a power play. So when you have a lot of children that have been basically woven through genetic alignment, they are then gridded up and linked to the face forward or the power players at the top of the pyramid, and they draw power from the family, the grid of the family and the offspring, whether they're above or below ground. There's a way that they're moving resources and power, I think, and so that's just
that makes sense. That makes sense. And I know that, you know, I can't stop looking for Charlene of Monaco. And one day her hair is blonde and the next day it's brown. And then the next day, I mean, she keeps dyeing her hair blonde. And I know Sue did the same thing too when she was waking up. And so, you know, this is all my thing. I'm trying to figure out how to help these people, but I know I can't do anything, but God can. So whatever his plan is, good with me.
So now that we've thoroughly...
Yeah, we saw that. We
Go
saw
on,
the time of the hair when Britney Spears tried to break out in, was it 2007? Initially, she tried to dye her hair from blonde to darker. And then she tried to shave her head. And then they picked her up and put her in this so-called rehab in Malibu. Well, in reality, that so-called rehab, it's a reprogramming center where the Hollywood elite break down. So this happens on the level, in this case, in Malibu, and with the local celebrities in California. But you also have to rehab throughout Europe and elsewhere, where the global elite, as the royal families and all the others, starting to break down, and they will be brought to those locations. And yeah, concerning the royals, the Dutch royal family is, by the way, much darker and higher up in the totem pole of the Illuminati, connected to the fallen angels, than the Windsors. The Windsors are maybe more known to the world, but on an occult level, the Dutch royals, as I witnessed myself, are much darker and much deeper and higher up. And the same to an extent with the Royal House of Monaco, as I witnessed as well. So the Windsors are much lower on the Illuminati totem pole, if you come to royal houses, than that of the Dutch royals, and even than the House of Monaco. I was brought to the Netherlands by my Mountbatten handler, and 4 times a year. That was from early 71, yeah, around 71. I was brought to the Dutch royal child hunting parties, in which were about 40 participants, give or take, and children from the age of 6 till 16. The kids were completely naked, undressed naked. The only thing that they wore was like canvas shoes, like what we call modern day all-stars. And then they were let loose in various states in southern Germany and Belgium, where the Dutch royals had their estates outside of the Netherlands. And then they had their hunting parties in the way that the British elite has their fox hunting parties. And then they went out with their high caliber rifles and also dogs. They used the Rottweilers and Dobermans as dogs. Every time when I see one of those dogs, I'm triggered. And I was four times a year brought to the Dutch royal hunting parties, child hunting parties. And Queen the former Queen Beatrice was one of the worst.
Yes, she was.
Other than Prince Bernard, and also his wife, the former queen. I tried to think of her name, the mother of Beatrice. But Beatrice was much worse and more demonic, as I remember, than all the other members. And the Dutch royals has now her son, King Willem, in Dutch, as because in reality, it is still Beatrice that holds the real power. And the Dutch and the hunting parties are still continuing as we speak today. And they got the guests are members of other royal families, members of the European blue bloods, the higher levels, the Venetian families that are present. And I was brought four times a year to those events till I was 71. Yeah, around 71 till mid-80s, I was brought four times a year and I had to witness that. And then a few times I wanted to intervene to help one of those kids, but I also knew if I would try, I would be punished to the end of the world. So I didn't do that. But initially when I saw that in the first period, I wanted to help those kids because they were of my own age. And I wonder the reason I was brought, that it was reminded to me if I wouldn't do it in the programming what they wanted me, I could end ending up in those places. Because they used children from 6 till 16 or 18 that didn't have family anymore, and kids also that got involved with the justice system. So kids that could be easily regarded because nobody missed them and that type of thing. So, but those things are still going on as we speak today, even though the Netherlands is being regarded as a high developed country, but it has a very dark and deep underbelly, what most people don't even know. And a lot of the estates happened in the Black, and they have a lot of properties and areas over there. The same in Belgium, in the Ardennes. And they have populated areas that are owned by the Dutch royals. So there are a lot of locations that they use where they do the child hunting parties. And the kids are also fully drugged up, so that I hardly can even do anything against it. They are programmed, they give a signal, and 4 minutes later, there's like a fire shot given, and that is then the starting point for the hunt to start. And they are also letting them the dogs loose. But I was heard from another insider later is that the dogs are not fed for 3 days before the event, so that dogs will let themselves loose on those children. I literally saw children being torn apart. And they couldn't scream because they were so drugged up. So so that means that they even didn't feel the pain. And yeah, that is, of course, one of the reasons why they could this. Because of the kid, but because of the drugs that they were under, they couldn't feel the pain, so they couldn't scream. But I literally saw children being torn apart by those dogs. And one time I was watching a James Bond movie, what triggered me. and that was the movie Moonraker in James Bond, in which it also I think a Doberman was let loose on a woman that gave James Bond in the movie information what she wasn't supposed to. And that triggered my memory to the royal families in Europe. Certainly the Dutch family are one of the highest within the European families and the darkest, as you probably can attest to this as well. And the same with the Monaco family on top of the pyramid, at least within Europe. And of course, we still have got royal families in Southeast Asia and Africa as well, because Africa had, of course, a lot of full royal families. And they're also attending the global network that we see, because I'm not sure with you, but I also saw it the rituals. Not only people coming from the Western world, but white people, but I also saw a lot of high-level members from African countries that came from their own royal lineage and things, and from Asia. So yeah, if you talk about the Illuminati, we talk about from a lot of different offspring, which is not only of the Caucasian, but they are globally, but I remember.
Wow. So we've covered some intense ground, but both of you have made reference to the next level, which is off planet operations, groups, interactions with entities. And this part of the conversation is what I think gets everyone confused, because we lack context and we don't have all the puzzle pieces when we have the conversation. And so there's just a lot of gaping holes in any kind of path to conclusion on, well, where did these reptilian entities come from that seem to have a place within the Rothschild family or the Windsors, or who originally built these anti-gravity craft that people are flying around with their minds? And you know, interestingly enough, just recently, our very own Congress is starting to have hearings. And I was watching some of these hearings on the nature of craft, and not just the ones that fly above the surface of the earth, but the ones that are submerged, unidentified submerging objects. And in addition to that, questions were being asked in Congress about non-human entities and the military's awareness of their existence. Of course, in those hearings, the information is highly, highly, I don't know, contained, whitewashed. So there wasn't a ton. I was listening. I was like, I hope they go somewhere. And it was like, this is not really going anywhere. For me, that was educational, but it's incredible that this is even happening at all. And at this point in history, there's definitely a reason why. Years ago, Mexico released photographs, actual footage of bodies, non-human bodies that their government was aware of. And I think a lot of people in America just kind of shoved it off their shoulders and didn't take it very seriously. I tried to share that story with several people and I had mixed reviews, but it was an actual world government that was saying, nope, there are non-human bodies. We have them in our possession. This is a real thing. However, both of you have experiences with these beings, and really, when it comes to the missing pieces of the puzzle, it seems that those puzzle pieces exist in the pre-Adamic age. And so I am just going to open this up and let you guys share a few thoughts here on this conversation, with the understanding, friends, that no one on this call, like no one in this interview, knows everything, including myself. Like I am a student at this point. God seems to be opening things up more and more as we are faithful to take steps and have the conversation. We're finding keys, we're finding truth, and also we're finding things that we are understanding in part, and that's okay. So let's have the conversation. Which one of you wants to talk about this line item first?
I don't know. I don't know as much as Robert. And so I'm just going to put a little bit of what I know, because these memories are kind of like, since I started working with you, they've just flooded out and they don't stop flooding. But my experience is that we were trained at NASA. Our body was trained to be able to do what the astronauts did. So they have all kinds of equipment that prepares your body for, you know, all of that which you experience. And ours went beyond that to underwater, everything. And then we had all the different shapeshifter bodies that would take us. We could just jump into a dolphin body and shapeshift into whatever we needed. We had it. So where I'm going with this is we did a lot of underground interplanetary meetings of many different levels of council. And we were bringing mind file information in with what our factions wanted known to them or done or what it, we carried the plan and the directives for each person that was involved. Very often we, you know, I don't have all them. I can't get the mind file information, but I get a lot about what it was about. And the Holy Spirit helps me. But there were, there are so many planets involved, and pre-Adamic is recently, I haven't processed this yet, but there were, the Holy Spirit showed me that pre-Adamically, our human spirit was involved in the red planet. And it was the evil, was, I think, Rahab was the principality. And that we had got stuck on Mars, red planet, and a part of our human spirit even like broken off, tortured, and then put in the grid. To hold Satan's original plan for him to dominate and take over the world. And my friend was also on the other side of this. My really good friend, Robert. And, you know, we haven't had a chance to really process this with you or really anyone else. But I believe that, you know, God is showing us the pre-Adamic things that our spirits, our human spirits, needed to know to ask God for deliverance from and to repent for things that we don't even remember, all of what it was that we were, even in those days. I think we were programmed and or not, whatever it was, we were split like people with multiple personalities. And so that has been partially our human spirit has been brought back. The Holy Spirit delivered it. And I know there's a bunch of prayers that are on the backside of this for you. And I can't wait to see what you do with it, because I know when we get that stuff, it's the roots, right? This is the root. And there we were, you know, on Satan's grid with his plan. And here we are now in human form working through
and
it.
For those of you that have not yet caught up to this part of the conversation, the reference to the human spirit is simply at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reality is that we're a three-part being, but those three parts don't always exist the way they do in this age. And the body is a newer addition physically, but the human spirit seems to exist long, long before we are born into this world. And it's not existing as a human spirit, soul, body being. It's just a spirit being that pre-exists from Jesus. And so there's a long history of experiences that we are uncovering, and that is what Esther is referring to when she says, my human spirit's interaction with Mars. Now, was there more, Esther?
Well, about he showed me that before all this evil happened, there was a blue Mars, and that was pristine nature. And that the red Mars came about with all of Satan's demonic plans. So this New World Order is nothing new. It's ancient. And that's how long Satan's been working on it. And the thing that concerns me is how many programmed people there are. I mean, it's just five generations that I know of our family. And it's actually even six now with the grandkids having kids. So it's passed down. People don't know it. They have no conscious awareness. And, you know, I know when Sue came out, you know, in the 80s, the early 80s with her book, God showed her that it was like she had just done a whole downhill snow skiing thing and won the race and got to the bottom and no one was there. And that's exactly what it was like for her when she put out Thanks for the Memories. There were very, very few people who understood. Jack Chick from Chick Publications helped her. Wow. He encouraged her. He, you know, keep going. And there were a lot of people like that on the front end that came along, but she was totally alone. She left her husband and family. Like, again, what Robert said, that, you know, to get free initially, you've got to leave everything you've ever known. And that is true. You know, I remain totally alone. And now God's bringing a new family for me. And I love my new family. I love you guys. And it's like a breath of fresh air to be around people who understand what you're talking about when everything you open your mouth to say sounds absolutely crazy. So, you know, with that, I'll just say Robert has probably way more on this than I do, but, that's kind of it. I have a lot more, but I don't understand it yet.
Fair. All right, Robert, you're up.
And concerning what she said about Mars and our parts on those grids, also part of this evil grid. So we kind of deal with this in the next couple of weeks with Cody further, because we only received this information from you, Esther, this week. I think it was this week. So... But concerning with what you showed also in the email, the blue Mars, that was the original Mars. That was before one of the last rebellions took place. Not the rebellion that the Bible talked about. But there was a few rebellions collectively before this, before the biblical rebellion that the Bible talks with Lucifer. And the one that took place over a million years ago. And that was connected with a conflict with a planet called Maldek that became the asteroid belt during that event. And that blew part of the atmosphere away from Mars. And that became the new Mars that you and I are completely connected to with the grid that was laid down over there. But people have to remember that the pre-Adamic world, or age, goes way back. There's not a few thousand years. It goes in the millions, if not in the tens of even hundreds of millions of years back in time, if you take it in a linear way. I know some Christians seem to believe that we live on a flat earth and all that. That is a load of hogwash.
Yeah.
Because God's creation, what is also known as the omniverse, is teeming with life. Unfortunately, when Lucifer was one of his archangels and he started already getting jealous, the seed of jealousy eons ago, in the tens of millions of years ago, he started already to enmesh other races and tell them that he tried what he did with fallen angels, what became the fallen angels, he did the same with other races. So when we talk about aliens coming here, the reptilians, or at least the Dracos as reptilians, and Greys and Nordics, not all the races are siding with Satan. There are also races that either are neutral or they're still siding with God. But because God placed Earth in a quarantine, the positive aliens don't interact with us. For one, the quarantine that we're still in. But secondly, there's another rule at play. And that is the rule that we see and being taught in our, that you don't interact and don't intervene with lower cultures that are not on the level as we on Earth in the Western world, as we saw over decades, over the last hundreds of years or so. And it applies also on a larger cosmic way. And we are still, Earth is still a developing planet in the scheme of the universe as such. So the positive aliens don't interact with us. We are not on par on their level on an emotional and spiritual level. So the aliens that we are dealing with on Earth are either the neutral ones or the negative ones. And of course, the negative ones also try to pretend they are the good ones. And I dealt so well with, I think, what were the negative, certainly the negative ones, but I also dealt with the more neutral ones. And what I noticed with the neutral ones is that they did their whatever they did to check the bodies and things. An example is when we go to the doctor and doctor do testing with us. And sometimes the testing can be uncomfortable for us because of the effect of what they do with a hammer on our knee or whatever, and it has a certain effect but bring uncomfort. Same when aliens do they're doing their probing and other things on us to check how we are ticking, so to speak, they will not react on our reaction and they will continue to do their harm on us and their pain. Well, if you've got a neutral one, their reaction is slightly different, as I noticed, because when they did their checking up on me, they tried to elevate the pain. They had a device, what they do over the place, what was hurting, and it took the pain out of the energy fields in my body. Well, if it was a negative one, they would continue with whatever they were doing on us humans. So that is one difference. Another difference is that the negative ones, majority of them, they are operative now of Satan, and that is part of the reason why they come here, because they also try to train us to be part of Satan's army, and they will depict either the good ones and the Lord angels as the evil ones. So they try to use in the future a lot of the abductees that have been abducted by aliens to defend Satan's army as the so-called good ones of God. While in reality, those abductees are trained to be used in the future when Jesus Christ with his angels comes back and their armies of the good aliens, if they come along. So this is not a part of the agenda, what we see with the alien abductions. And the alien abductions also happened in my family. My mother, before she died, told me that she was abducted and had her ex abductions with the gray aliens when she was about 4 years old. So she was born in 36. So that was in 1940. So even before the Roswell first crash that took place in modern day, my own experience took place when I was 1 year old. And then my nanny found me missing out of my crib. And also the door was locked from the inside, as my mother told me. So, and what I remember is I saw a ball floating above my crib. And out of the ball, there's an opening developed as a portal and gray. And a light being in a gray form came out. And they took me as an infant through the portal. And I ended up in underground or in some other sub-dimension. But that was my first experience. And I had many experiences after that through my whole childhood. I don't recall any further experience as an adult other than when I was living in the Netherlands as a student. And it was around, I was in my first couple of years in the Netherlands in the early mid 80s as a student. And that is the only experience I remember as an adult experience that also took me when I was one and in other stages in my early childhood. But it was also the gr same group that another famous abductee talked about, Betty Andreessen. If people would Google the Betty Andreessen affair, they can find her books on YouTube, on Amazon and other locations. And they were more of the neutral gray species. But they also operate with either subdimensions they're using on Earth and other bases, including undersea bases. But they are one of the few of the neutral ones. And what they did, I tried to heal in some cases some of the damage that was done to me by the reptilians and by other nefarian ones. I also had abductions by tall grays together with the praying mantis type that also are heavily involved. And they are also quite nasty. And the tall grays are also coming again from the Orion system. And the Draco reptilians and Satan operate with a lot of beings that come from the Orion system. And they are quite nasty. And our military are fully in sync with them. They work hand in hand in the underground dumps with the with the tall gray aliens and the reptilians. I must say, because of God creation, not everything but is a reptilian is per se negative. Because you also have some neutral reptilian species as well. But again, not all beings in the universe has been deceived by Lucifer. Lucifer has deceived Christ, or all Nordics, or all reptilians are either all evil or neutral or positive. They are all also in between. It's the same with humans. Not all humans are evil. Not all humans are either neutral or positive. You have humans in all in between as well. So if that applies to the human race, why doesn't it also apply to different alien species?
You know, that's certainly a very nuanced view, Robert. And it, you know, in past conversations, you've expressed some similar sentiments. I think, you know, you were one of the first people that I talked to that suggested not every non-human entity you encountered was malevolent to the core.
No, as I
And
said,
obviously, that's.
the neutral ones, when they said I was in pain, they had this kind of a hand device. They went out local what was painful, and they seemed even more in pleasure if they see you in pain, as I had noticed myself. So, but again, yeah, the good ones don't come here because Earth is in a quarantine, and the good aliens are also on the side of God. So they will not interact with us for one. We are on a spiritual level, not yet ready. We have not been matured enough on the spiritual level. Now, yeah, we only have to see how we interact with our planet and with all this land, to name one thing. So, but yeah, because of the quarantine and that we are not spiritually matured enough as a species, that is one of the reasons why the positive ones don't come here. But the neutral ones, they do come here, but they try to less intervene with our development. And also with, they do check up us, they check us medically and things like that. And they are also concerned, what is happening with the human body and how we are being polluted and all. But yeah, the negative ones, they come here, they are harvesting our DNA, using it for all kinds of things. And again, the negative ones are fully on board with Satan. They work for him. So they are part of the hybrid program, the Chimera program, and all those type of things. What we also had uncovered, connected with my experience, again with the Jesuits in operation in above the Netherlands, you got a group of islands that is connected with naval scientists from Britain and the Netherlands, naval scientists and Jesuits. And they did experiments on me and other children. And we found out that they had split my core in 256 parts. And those cores were shipped fully on Ganymede in our solar system, the moon Ganymede and Europe. And from there, those parts were further placed over the universe to other species. So my core parts are being harvested as such, maybe even split up even further. And we found out that my parts has been placed in amphibian types of beings, including octopus type of beings, over a size of 20 plus feet in length, and insectoids. And those are parts of a Chimera army that Satan is building for the end times. A lot of Satan armies will arise in the future, not from the skies. They will come from the undersea portals that are all over our major oceans. Most UFOs from aliens don't come from the skies. They come from the undersea interdimensional portal systems that operate in the middle of our oceans.
So, wow. Esther, I want to let you give me some of your reactions, right, as you're listening to Robert talk about this part of the story, or, you know, and I will just say, we'll just call it, you know, his perspective, right? Because we're having a conversation. I'm not saying that we're here to build doctrines. Right now, we're here to just talk. And, you know, for those of you that are listening, we're talking as people trying to put the pieces together on an issue that is, well, not really fully solved. But, you know, Esther, how does his sharing affect you and really inside? Like, are there...
I just want to cry. Mm-hmm. And I guess that I try to just stay focused on what the Holy Spirit is showing me as his priority. Because the truth is, there are so many kids that are being tortured, bred to be fed to all these evil beings. And in my experience so far, I don't believe I've met an alien or been taken anywhere where I experienced them as good. Even if they were experimenting, taking you and experimenting on you, I wouldn't have experienced that as good. Honestly, it hasn't been that long since I actually was abducted and taken through the wall of my bedroom. I mean, we're talking a few months, maybe not even that long ago. And when I woke up in my bed, I had no memory of it, but you should have seen the look on my dog's face. She was like, staring at me like if she could talk, I knew from looking at her face that something really bad had happened. She was trying to tell me. And now she doesn't sleep at night because she's watching me. And I'm praying extra blood of Jesus over the ceiling, the walls, and everything, because this is reality. I mean, for people, probably a year ago, had I met Robert, I would have thought, I wouldn't have even listened to it. Who was programmed to just turn away from UFOs, just ignore it. And she noticed there always was a satanic ritual abuse conference, and right next door was a UFO abduction conference. And she kept, you know, she would observe things, and she couldn't understand. Well, I think they were trying to keep control over it, and they had insiders like us programmed to report the bottom line. And, wow, that just came in my mind. Wait a minute. Okay. So There also are so many program people that are involved in all of what seems to be the solution. And they have to be there to monitor and report and to put in misinformation. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit has me really reined in. I mean, I am, you know, I've never watched TV. I watch very little of everything. So I don't really keep up with what's going on in the world. But I know that the military has secrets and they are using them. And they use even like EEG brainwave formats. And they've been trying them on me. And I'll wake up and I felt like I've just had EEG work done on me. And I felt weird. And I felt exhausted, like I was trying to go through my day only in a sleep state. And they were trying REM sleep programming on me, trying to stop me from everything that I'm doing. So I was like dragging through every day. I was literally stuck in those brainwaves until we work to undo all that. But all this stuff is ongoing. I mean, I'm going to be 74 and I'm still being abducted by aliens and I'm not even childbearing anymore for a long time. I mean, this is just, and so I haven't figured all this out yet, but I am so grateful for you guys and everything that you're doing that allows me to share, to, you know, just, I had no one to talk to, and now I do. So, but, you know, I want answers, and I know for me, the demonic part of this has led me when I go, okay, God, this happened. Why? What's going on? I get led back to pre-Adamic times. And we do the human spirit, or I get led back to, you know, something one of my ancestors did, you know, 50 years ago or 40 generations ago or what. I mean, this is just wild. You know, it's like I was telling Robert that my mind at this age, you know, of course, I've been kept under hidden and, you know, I don't even know how to dress myself. You know, I had a lady help me to pick out clothes and she sent them to me to wear to the advance. I had no idea, social, anything. And so, you know, when it comes to all of this, I have no earthly, social, normal, anything, but I am witnessing what God is bringing forward every single day for 6 years. We're going on 7. And so what he's showing me is all this. And so I just say for the people who think this is all craziness, it is reality that has been hidden from everyone. And it's like listening, if I had listened to Robert talk about this even a year ago, I would have thought, you know, this guy is just nuts. But there I am having the same memories. And they weren't just memories, they were flashbacks. I mean, I was like, I was there. And then having the abduction still ongoing. And it's just all real. It's just all I can tell you, that Robert's telling the truth. And that I am so grateful for the work that you guys did for years before I got here, and I plan to do everything I know to do to help the victims that are still being in bondage, the captives, as Jesus says. I want to be part of helping to set them free. And I know that, you know, everything in the devil's corner wanted me not to be here today.
My goodness.
And the battle I had to get here yesterday was just insurmountable. I didn't think I could make it, but I just prayed, God, pick me up tonight when I go to sleep. And he did. So our God is more powerful, but victims and survivors don't know that yet. So I just want to tell you, having come through this, that God is powerful. He
Amazing.
Is so powerful, and he will. All you have to do is raise your hand if you can't even talk, and he knows your heart. You know, just call out, cry out to him, even if you don't have words yet. And he's listening because he's putting together an army. And all I can tell you is a year ago, I could have never imagined that I would be doing what I'm doing here with you guys to serve God at the highest level. I mean, this is God's plan.
You know, Jesus is the King of Kings. Nothing's going to change that. No, it doesn't matter how many groups or classification of beings or hybrids we define and encounter. Jesus is still the King of Kings. And that's one of the real foundation cornerstones that helps us to navigate these kinds of conversations. You guys have given our listening audience more than a lot to chew on today. I just want to applaud you both for being here and for having the boldness to just put it out there. I mean, and, you know, it is the requirement that every, you know, jot and tittle of every statement that is said 100% factual and verifiable. When it's conversation, the answer is no. We can talk about things, open up ideas and present perspectives and say, you know what, these are things we can consider and weigh. And so for the listening audience, when Robert comes in and says something like, I think that not all of creation is fallen, just like not all of humanity is evil. And there's a continuum. That's a new way to think about some things. I would not advise anyone listening to this podcast to agree to an abduction experience. Like, I'd still resist that in the name of Jesus every time. But you know, it's just such a nuanced perspective, and we're talking about, you know, perspectives and opening the conversation because we don't have all the keys. But what I know for a fact is that God is doing something extraordinary in this generation. I also know for a fact that one of the greatest problems that this generation has to solve that we haven't even fully defined is the problem of mind control and how it has usurped and subverted our world. And God has a plan for this problem. And these two incredible, extraordinary individuals are forerunners. And for your bravery and your heroic act of choice to follow Jesus into these deep waters, I applaud you both, and I say thank you. Thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
And, thank you.
And yeah, Esther, she will be the new trailblazer, seeing what I had done so far for the last 10 years. And some of the information that I talked about now has only been recent information for me, but has been uncovered over the last year or so. So yeah, especially with the grids on Mars and my connection to the J-Suite and all that, that has been only recent information. So I think there is still a lot more to talk than what we have shared so far. So I certainly hope there will be a follow-up at one point with this, seeing also our own journey with our own coaches. And Daniel, thanks for letting me speak again after all those years. And of course, we had now more information to share than up till 2018, and a lot of new information. And hopefully this will be helpful for other survivors out there. And seeing my own journey and the suffering I did, what I have seen so far, the fruits that brought for survivors to bring, that has helped them, I am glad that God has used me for this. Despite my hard journey that I went through, what I, by the way, on a spirit level, chose to undergo. That is a whole new subject that we may also can talk in the next thing, because on the spirit level, as being angelic, I chose to be born in the dark family I did in order as a scribe, not only to write things down on a spiritual level, but also that my testimony will be used in the future against Satan in the courts of heaven against the crime of humanity and against the crime of life in general on this planet. So I chose to go through this dark tunnel, what I did, and not only come alive out of it victorious, and also to help other survivors as we see Esther and all the others out there. So I applaud you for the work that you have been doing with us and that you're continuing to do with Bright Ministry, and also same for Esther, for the work she is doing with you and with her story, that it will also help others to find the light and to find their way to Bright Ministry. Because Bright Ministry, so far I can see, is the only one that is still standing tall with the different ministries we had in the early, in the 2010s, if I'm correct. And Bright is the only one so far that has survived up till now. So, and then Bright Ministry is going to be more needed in the future than ever before. And I am glad that I have been a part of this in my journey. And I feel honored that I met Daniel and the work that we have been doing. It was not always easy, but it certainly was worth the journey and everything that came out of it. So I also give God all the honor to this as well, because without God, I also would have never made it in the way I did.
Amen. Wow. And the other thing I want to say real quick is that, you know, we had the memory with the Holy Spirit of our choice to jump into this lifetime and go through this most evil, knowing we had an easier choice and a harder choice, and we chose the harder choice, and the harder choice was impossible without God. It's like, if he didn't do it, we just have to lean in on God, because he's the one that's doing the heavy lifting. And and I believe that because I'm willing to just lay down and be obedient to everything that God tells me, that this is the way we win. And we are going to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And all I can say is that people look at me crazy when I say this, like I'm nuts, but if this is what it took to know Jesus the way I do, being tortured as an infant when he came in, all those times, all my kid parts know him well, it was worth it. It was worth being tortured to know Jesus. And so I would just encourage everyone to, you know, take your time with Jesus. Take your special time away from everything to be with Jesus, because he is the treasure above everything. He is like amazing. And without him, I wouldn't have met Robert or Dan Duvall. And it's amazing.
Well, friends, I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to stop talking about it. And so you've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Until next time, God bless. And Godspeed. You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.